When was sin actually paid for? That's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us. So glad that you're here. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this show. So we are answering questions from listeners just like you. If you'd like to get your questions answered, you can do so by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. We hope to hear from you. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to Grace in Focus, where we're taking your questions. Send them to radio@faithalone.org, just like Chris did. Chris says, "Hi, I'm a pastor of a small church in Oklahoma. I was listening to one of your podcasts about when sin was paid for. I was taught that sin was paid for during the time of darkness, Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. During that time, Jesus' fellowship with God was broken. That's why he says, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' His fellowship was restored when he says, 'Into your hands I commit my spirit.' I was taught that sin was paid for before Jesus died on the cross. It was paid for during the time of darkness. What is your view on that?" Well, let me kind of break down his question. The first part is the payment of sin, and maybe that raises the penalty of sin. You can know what the payment is if you know what the penalty is. So in your view, what needs to be paid for? Is that the right way of approaching the penalty of sin?
Well, when we talk about substitutionary atonement, what we mean is that Jesus died in our place. Mm-hmm. When he died on the cross, he took the sins of all people from Adam and Eve till the last sinner who will be born. And all those sins were poured upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think Chris would agree with that. Chris is really asking, when did that occur? When did it start? When did it end? He's also asking or saying that Jesus was out of fellowship with the Father during that time, right?
Right. I think what Chris is saying is it was paid for when Jesus was out of fellowship. Therefore, being out of fellowship is the penalty that needs to be paid. That's the debt that needs to be paid, I guess. So Jesus had to experience that in order to pay it. First of all, is being out of fellowship with God the penalty of sin? Would you say that?
Yes and no. Obviously, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were out of fellowship with God.
That was a consequence.
Right. They were hiding. They sewed fig leaves to cover their nakedness. When Jesus was walking in the garden, Genesis 3:8, in the cool of the day, they're hiding, which is kind of nutty because he's all-knowing. Mm-hmm. But in any regard, they're hiding. Of course, they also began to die physically. The moment they ate of that fruit, physical death entered the human realm. Prior to that, there would have been no physical death, zero. Evidently, aging up to the point of the prime of life, and then, this is a guess here, I'm speculating, and then they would have stayed that way forever. But instead, Adam and Eve began to die. Now, it took 930 years for Adam, but in Genesis 5, we're told that Adam was 930 years old, and he died.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 5 is all about the death of the patriarchs, and one after another, and he died, and he died, and he died, except for Enoch. Enoch is a little window of what is to come.
Right.
When he doesn't die, God takes him.
So the penalty for sin is physical death.
Yes, and it's also, of course, as you mentioned, it is a break in fellowship with God. But once we come to faith in Christ, now we have everlasting life, and we begin the Christian life in fellowship with God. And when we sin, it's not that we now have lost fellowship with God and we're out of fellowship with God forever. What it is we have a provision for remaining in fellowship with God, and that is 1 John 1:7, walking in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right.
So if, as a believer, we're in a local assembly, a local church that's teaching God's word clearly, okay, we're now in the light, and if we are then confessing our sins, we can walk in fellowship with God. But if we're not acknowledging our sins, and we're not under the teaching of God's word, then no, we won't be walking in fellowship.
Right. Now, in the Old Testament, we have hundreds of years of animal sacrifices.
Right.
The animal was the substitute for the person who's offering the sacrifice. and the animal had to be killed. Blood right. was shed. They were killed. Here comes Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. He's the fulfillment of all those sacrifices.
He is.
He gets nailed to the cross. And at what point does he pay for our sin? Now, Chris is saying it happens during the time of darkness, where he interprets, my God, why have you forsaken me, as a statement of Jesus' fellowship being broken. But wouldn't you say, though, that Jesus pays for sin finally when he dies physically?
I would say that it's not accomplished until he dies. If you read the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Well, you could argue that Jesus shed his blood somehow before he died. If that was the case, then that's even before the time of darkness.
Right.
That's before he goes on right. the cross. But I would say what happened when he died is his heart ruptured. That caused his death, and that's why when they put the spear in his side, the blood and the water comes out separated.
Right. Well, I think the expression shedding of blood, that doesn't mean like you scrape your knee when you fall down.
Right.
It's an expression that means you're dead.
Right.
You've killed someone or you've been killed.
Right. But in light of the animal sacrifices, it was always death by the shedding of blood.
Right.
It wasn't just some bleeding. And so it had to be, Jesus had to die by shedding his blood, and he did. And until he did that, it wasn't accomplished.
Right. Could we say that it had started? He was experiencing right. being made sin on our behalf.
Exactly. But now, you ask the other question, what about this being out of fellowship with the Father?
So, yeah, how do we explain that? What does it mean when he quotes Psalm 22?
Okay. First of all, I would say Jesus has forever been in fellowship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, and he forever will be in fellowship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And there was never a time in all of eternity when Jesus was out of fellowship with God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he was omnipresent while he was on the cross, right? He wasn't just on the cross.
Yeah.
He was in heaven. He was everywhere in the universe. And he's all-knowing while he's on the cross. He's obviously experiencing the love of God while he's on the cross, the love of God the Father, the love of God the Holy Spirit. So forever, he's always been in fellowship with God. And to say he wasn't, you'd have to somehow separate him.
Well, I guess it's the human nature, they'd say. The human nature is suffering all these things.
But in his person as the God-man,
yeah.
both God and man bled, and both God and man died. Now, God can't die, of course, so it had to be the God-man who died. But the dying there, of course, is a separation of the body from the soul and the spirit.
Right.
It seems to me that is what happened with Jesus for 3 days. That's why his body was in the tomb mm-hmm. until Sunday morning. His soul and spirit went to the safe part of Hades, and he was with Abraham and with the believers there. And
because Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise, and that's the saved part of Hades.
Right. But the idea that Jesus was out of fellowship with God, or that he somehow spiritually died for that time on the cross, regardless of whether you say it's 3 hours, 6 hours, I don't buy that.
So he was not forsaken. He said, though, why have you forsaken me? So how do you explain that?
Okay, well, two things. First of all, he was forsaken in the sense that he was tormented, undergoing pain, suffering, and death. And so I think that's what forsaken alludes to in Psalm 22, which is what Jesus is quoting. And that is what happened, but not forsaken in the sense of out of fellowship. Okay, if he was out of fellowship at that point, why pray, my God, why have you forsaken me? If he's out of fellowship, does God the Father hear that? So is he just saying this for the crowd? I think not. And also, you see, Chris is in a situation where he has to say he's back in fellowship at the end, because he says, when he says, into thy hands I commit my spirit, if he's still bearing the sins of the world in his view, then God wouldn't hear that either.
Mm.
I would say no. The whole thing God hears, and he's quoting Psalm 22 because he's affirming that that's prophecy about him.
And if you read Psalm 22, there's all kinds of prophecy there about Jesus. And by the way, we didn't mention that an old way of quoting scripture was to quote the first line of a whole text that you wanted to bring to mind.
So he's bringing to mind not just that verse, but the whole thing. And Psalm 22 ends with the Messiah ruling and reigning.
Right. It's David writing it, but
right.
David never experienced these things, so we take it as prophetic. It begins with David having this sense of forsakenness, but it turns out God had not forsaken him.
And he even talks about piercing my hands and my feet.
Right. So
which, And by the way, crucifixion did not exist at the time of David, around 1000 B.C.
Right.
But it ends with the Messiah ruling and reigning. So I think when Jesus says this, it's not only a lament, it's also a cry of victory.
Well, I wonder if he said that not to say, hey, I'm out of fellowship with God, but for the sake of the people listening, saying this has all been prophesied. I mean, listen to some of the things in Psalm 22. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count on my bones. They look and stare at me. Listen to verse 18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That is literally what the Roman soldiers did. Anyone doubting Jesus could go to that verse and realize, wait a second, this was all part of God's plan.
And he's saying, look, this doesn't mean that I've been defeated.
Right.
This doesn't mean I'm not the Messiah. This means I have won and I am the Messiah.
Well, listen to verse 24. So he starts off by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But listen what he realizes. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. So he might have felt forsaken emotionally, but then he realizes, no, God heard all this.
Right, and we need to realize that Jesus came to die. And all through his ministry, he would say, my hour is not yet come, my hour is not yet come. In Matthew 16, he told the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem, they're going to mistreat me, and they're going to kill me, and I'm going to rise on the third day.
Yeah.
During those 6 hours on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins, the sins of all of humanity, to make everyone savable. He wasn't out of fellowship with God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. He was in fellowship with him doing what God the Father had sent him to do, John 3:16, what he pointed to his whole life. And so we should praise God that our Messiah died for us and he was victorious in his death, so that by faith in him we have everlasting life. And that because he rose from the dead, so we too will one day rise from the dead and have perfect glorified bodies. And we should say with the author of Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've made it to another Friday. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.